From Southern California, this is The Circle of Insight, a show about everything in psychology. Hear the latest in news and views on psychology. Our motto is simple. Wherever there is psychology involved, we are there. And now, here's your host of The Circle of Insight, Carlos Vasquez.
From wherever you are around the world, welcome and thank you for joining us. Today we're going to be exploring the misunderstood Jew. That's right, Jesus. Is he misunderstood? Well, we're going to find out. We have Dr. Amy Jill Levine with us today, Professor of New Testament and Jewish Studies at Vanderbilt University. Welcome to The Circle, Dr. Levine.
Thank you.
Well, this is already a very interesting topic just by the name of the book, Misunderstood Jew. You can see it right here. Highly recommended. It's a fantastic book like the rest of the books that she has written. So what got you motivated to write about the misunderstood Jew?
When I first started to study Jesus, the books that I was reading and some of the people with whom I worked suggested that Jesus' Jewish context was a problem that Jesus had to come and fix. And then the problems began to proliferate, that first century Judaism epitomized misogyny. It just hated women, and Jesus came along and invented feminism. And all early Jews were militaristic, and Jesus invented peace. And all early Jews were elitist and rich, and Jesus talked about concern for the poor. And all early Jews were xenophobic. They hated foreigners, and Jesus invented universalism. And even though I was Jewish, I am Jewish, and I heard this stuff, you know, my professors told me this, it's what I was reading, I thought it was true. And suddenly I had one of those aha moments, and I thought, how do people know this? What is the historical background? And I started to look at the primary sources, and I realized that people who were talking about Jesus' Jewish context were misconstruing that context. And they were getting the context wrong, and consequently they were getting Jesus wrong. They were yanking him out of his own environment and making him something so distinct he was completely alien. And I think that's bad history, and it's also bad theology. For Christians who would claim that Jesus is fully human, then he's fully human in his own historical context. And in order to understand him well, we need to understand that context.
It sounds like they're trying to fit him into their own agenda.
Pretty much so, which is basically what most theologians and scholars do anyway. And it's certainly true that my agenda is to recuperate Jesus' Jewish background, and I do that as a Jew. But, you know, frankly, you can both be biased and right.
That's very true. Before we continue to explore this, you did mention something off camera earlier that really got me intrigued. I don't know if it started to give you the impetus to write this book or maybe give you impetus to pursue this career, but you said something about wanting to be the Pope?
Ah, yes. In fact, Misunderstood Jew starts with that. I grew up in a neighborhood that was predominantly Portuguese Roman Catholic. So my introduction to Christianity was ethnic Catholicism, which was just gorgeous. I mean, great songs and art and traditions and music and personal piety. And it was terrific. I remember coming home from school one day, and the only thing that was on television was the funeral of Pope John the 23rd. And I was upset because my cartoons weren't on. But my mother said, you need to watch this. This is important. This is Pope John the 23rd. And he was good for the Jews. So I started to watch. And I thought, well, okay, what does it mean? If you're Pope, it means you live in Italy, which meant you get to eat spaghetti. Nothing wrong with that. You get to wear white. I look pretty good in white. You get to have this great crown. I'm interested in accessories. You know, and it's good for the Jews. So I announced to my mother, oh, when I grow up, I want to be Pope. And my mother looked at me and she said, you can't. And I said, why not? And she responded, because you're not Italian. So I became a professor of New Testament instead.
Well, you would have gave Pope Francis a run for his money, I'm sure. So let's start off a little bit with your book. How did you start off with Misunderstood Jew? What did you first start exploring?
I first started exploring Jesus when I was 7 years old. So, I mean, has been, you know, a half a century worth of work. Because I had grown up in this Catholic neighborhood, I mean, I knew about Jesus, but from a distance. And then one day on the school bus, a little girl said to me, you killed our Lord. And this is pre-Vatican II, right? And I couldn't fathom why this tradition that had a Jewish man named Jesus and all these wonderful rituals and practices and art and music, I couldn't figure out why this tradition was saying bad things about Jews. So I started to explore, and I was 7 years old then, and I'm 58 now. So clearly I've been doing it a long time.
Definitely do it. So you've been exploring since you were young. In the book, what were some of the first things you started looking at in regards to his context, where he was at? What did you find out?
Well, to do that means you have to read a whole lot. And what I was finding in a number of particularly more popular works is that somebody would read something in Leviticus and then conclude, oh, that's what people in the first century were doing, which is like reading 1 Corinthians and saying, therefore, that's what people in the local church are doing. It's kind of bad history.
Sure.
It meant reading the Dead Sea Scrolls, Josephus, Philo. The non-canonical books, the text that didn't make it into anybody's Bible but were floating around at the time. It meant exploring archaeological work and Roman politics, cross-cultural ritual studies, anything I could get my hand on, rabbinic literature, and working my way back to try to create a more fulsome portrait of the world in which Jesus lived.
That sounds like a very fascinating book. I'm sure everybody right now's mouth is watering, getting ready to read this book. Did you use any Gnostic Gospels?
Not so much, although I did spend a number of years in graduate school learning the Coptic language so I could read them. But I don't think they help us get back to Jesus. I think they're not written from a Jewish context for the most part. They're written more within the realm of Greek philosophy. And the stuff that does get us back to Jesus is also recapitulated in the canonical Gospels that we had. So I didn't find the Gnostic Gospels to be as much help as some of this other material.
Hi, welcome to Adelante. This is Adelante Recovery, and my name is Yvette Kuglin, and I'm part of the staff.
Adelante Recovery Center has helped people in dual diagnosis for 5 years. We accept most PPO insurances and provide luxury accommodations and 24-hour support. To speak with an admissions counselor, call 1-888-242-4450.
A lot of time, we don't even know what's wrong with us, and sometimes we need to get away to figure that out. So if you want to go for a little retreat out in Corona Del Mar, which is a confidential location, we're here to help. So we're only a phone call away. Thank you.
How would Jesus be looked at today in the Jewish world?
probably as somebody with whom you could have a really good argument. pretty much puts you right in the heart of Judaism. I mean, the word Israel itself traditionally means one who wrestles with God. And how you do that is you wrestle with the text that we have received, our sacred scripture, and you wrestle with other people, metaphorically speaking, in the congregation who interpret the text in ways differently than you do.
I find it fascinating. You have Jesus, who's the head of the Christian church, but he comes from a Jewish background. I mean, I guess being Jewish, that would be interesting. That would be fascinating. You have almost two involvements in two of the biggest religions in the world. And you even got your toe in the world of Islam because it started in Abraham. So it's kind of a fascinating Jewish religion. How would you say transcends all three religions or permeates all three religions, better said.
So at least we have things that we can share. But what I also want to do is not override the differences. And in any sort of interreligious conversation, whether it's Jews talking with Christians or Christians talking with Muslims, I don't want to settle for some sort of lowest common denominator. And I don't think that one should sacrifice the particulars of his or her own tradition on the altar of interfaith sensitivity, which means that when we engage in interreligious dialogue, we need to be able to say, you know what, I can appreciate your view here, but I don't agree with you, and here's why. Or I understand that that makes sense to you, but it doesn't make sense to me, so help me understand it. And if we really can ask those raw questions and learn how to disagree civilly, we're in a better position to be able to celebrate the God we all claim to worship.
That's a great point. Let's go back in time again. We're going to go back into Jesus' time. What did they think of him? What did you find how they perceived him, what they thought about him? I know some people thought, wow, you know, this guy, he's out in left field. But what's going on with Jesus in that time?
There's no singular take, and nor should there be any more than there's a singular take of any public figure today. It's like saying, what does the American population think about the president? It depends upon whom one asks. Some people thought he was the representative of God on earth. Other people thought he was an absolutely splendid teacher with great ideas. other people thought he was possessed by Satan or insane, or a political provocateur who needed to be gotten off the scene because of his popular support. You know, I have a feeling that what his mother Mary thought about him was quite different than what Pontius Pilate thought about him. So
yes,
what we get, you know, what we get is actually in the New Testament already multiple portraits of Jesus. The Jesus we get in the Gospel of John, who proclaims himself all the time, I am the true vine, I am the bread of life, is very different than the Jesus we get in the Gospel of Mark, who does a miracle and then says, don't tell anybody, or keeps things secret. The Jesus we can reconstruct from Paul's letters or the Epistle to the Hebrews or the Book of Revelation is a whole lot different than the Jesus we have in Matthew or Luke.
Do you think there's a development in Jesus? When I read the Gospels, it seems like Jesus is becoming more and more of a divine being in a sense. He's kind of developing almost in a character in a novel. You can see it from Matthew, you go to Mark, but then when he hits John, boy, he really just goes off the mark there, or at least elevates himself to a certain degree.
You can look at Jesus as, or traditions about Jesus as developing so that he gets more and more divine over time, but I think that's only half the story. Paul is writing before the Gospels. And in texts like his epistle to the Philippians, his letter to the church at Philippi, he talks about Jesus already as being in the form of divinity and descending to earth. So this idea of Jesus being divine is there pretty much from the get-go. And it's not a matter of the tradition going from lower to higher. It's a matter of some traditions have him more divine, some traditions have him more human. And it's a back and forth. It's not linear. Nor should it be. Religion tends not to work in a linear manner.
Here's a question for you. This is complete self-interest. They say Paul, I think the first book was 1 Corinthians, I think it was.
Paul's first letter is probably 1 Thessalonians.
Thessalonians. Is that because it was dated? Or is that something that was the first one we found, as the earliest one? Is it possible that maybe John was the very first one? We just have no copies of it? Or did these guys actually date it and say 20 AD or whatever it is?
Yeah, that would be interesting if it actually said 20 AD, so you would have a Latin abbreviation in a Greek text when they weren't sure when Jesus was born. That would be interesting.
That would end all arguments.
they don't give us dates. So, and we don't have any of the original texts from anybody. What we've got is copies of copies of copies of copies. But one can go through and make what I find to be pretty compelling arguments about what's relatively early and what's relatively late. We can see developments. We can see who used whom as a source, and that sometimes helps. But for the most part, anytime we make a hypothesis about when a text was written, it's always an hypothesis. We can't prove it.
Yeah, not at least not yet, right?
Not yet. not until we invent the time machine. Or we find that text dated 30 AD. Which is not holding your breath.
Please call me if you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else you want us to know about that book? I know everybody's salivating right now, so they're just waiting to get that book. What anything else you want to tell us?
Yeah. If we get Jesus wrong, if we get Judaism wrong, we're going to get Jesus wrong. More than that. If we get Judaism wrong, we're likely to stray into anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic stereotype. And anti-Semitism is antithetical to Christianity. And I don't think one needs to bear false witness against Jews and Judaism in order to understand Jesus. For me, as a non-Christian, I appreciate so much and learn so much from Jesus. If I, as an outsider, can find so much of value in this material and can respect it, how much more so should people who claim to be followers of Jesus be able to see even more why he is important and why he is, in fact, worth listening to?
And actually, I do want to put one myth I think is a myth. Maybe I'm wrong. You can correct me. It's happened before. Did the Jews kill Jesus?
According to Christian theology, all of humanity is responsible for the death of Jesus. According to the New Testament, Jesus dies on a Roman cross.
I wanted to clarify that for everybody to realize everybody took part in this horrific, actually, event that happened over about 2,000 years ago. We want to thank you so much. And actually, before I leave, I have to tease the audience. If you want to better understand Jesus, I'm not going to ask you the question. You're going to have to buy the book. It's called The Misunderstood Jew by Dr. Amy Jill Levine. Thank you so much, Dr. Levine, again, for being on the show.
pleasure to be with you.
And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Remember, our motto is simple. Wherever there's psychology involved, even in the Old Testament and New Testament, we are there. See you next time, everyone.